Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. This is episode 54, and I'm David, accompanied by my friend, Jordan. Now, Jordan, what do you use to predict the future of Nintendo?
I don't know. I don't even have a quick response to this one. What?
A Luigi board.
Oh, no.
You ask the spirits and they shall guide you. You know, that's about as good as my dad's friend's brother's cousin works at Nintendo or whatever people say. but yeah, why don't you go ahead and introduce our topic this week, Jordan?
All right. So this week there was a Nintendo Direct. They did not show the new hardware. Like I said, there was like a 60% chance that they would. I don't know. It's sounding more and more like the new hardware doesn't really have like a big gimmick to it. It's just a more powerful Switch. So I guess they don't really need as much time to market such a device.
Right. Yeah. Like even in the last week, since we recorded our last episode, there have been even more reports, like more confirmations that Nintendo has shown this stuff. Right. So it feels like it's coming, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's coming, but at this point, I think it's just, they're going to show it 2 months before release. If it's nothing more than just a more powerful Switch.
Which, in my opinion, is the right way to go. I mean, I hope that they give us updated Joy-Cons and stuff, even if they let us use our old ones or whatever. But newer updated Joy-Cons that are much more durable and reliable would be great, since, you know, they're still shipping them with the terrible stick hardware. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Switch 2 hardware, right?
No. Obviously not. Now we have a bunch of end-of-life Switch games to talk about.
Seriously, end-of-life.
I'll be honest, this Direct was pretty mid for me.
Yeah, I would say there were a couple of exciting things for me, but most of it was like, oh, this feels like the last 3DS Direct, you know? Like, just here are all of these ports, here are all of these DLCs and whatnot. No, nothing new is on the horizon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right?
Yeah, they're wrapping up a lot of projects at the moment.
Yeah. And I'd say the first thing that they showed off is definitely wrapping up a project, right? The first thing they showed was the Splatoon 3 DLC Side Order. And it looks amazing. And I'm a big Splatoon nerd. I know you will probably play through it, if at all. And you're not super into it, but it honestly looks like a more elevated and upgraded version of Octo Expansion from Splatoon 2, and I'm all here for it. Did you have any initial impressions on it, Jordan? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I kind of wish that I didn't need to buy the base games of Splatoon for the DLC, because the DLCs, their campaigns look more in line with what I want out of the campaigns of Splatoon.
Yeah.
But now that I've already sunk $60 into Splatoon, I don't want to pay however much money this is to get a campaign. So I think I'm going to sit out. I just wish this was more in line with what the base campaign was.
Could you imagine if they released this campaign as like a separate add-on for Switch 2? Because it's not coming out until like next year, and they didn't even really give us a huge window. I think they said spring, right?
Right. I don't know. I'm getting more and more convinced that it is end of summer for Switch 2. So,
yeah,
I think the big final swan song for the Switch 1 at this point is probably Metroid Prime. It'll be released in June. I'm going all over the place. Like, it's really hard to like kind of predict where Nintendo is going to go with their final year.
Yeah.
Of the Switch, especially since it was reported. So like we talked in the previous episode that they revealed the Switch 2 to developers at, I think it was Gamescom.
Yeah.
It also has now been reported that one of the demos that they showed, so they showed a handful of demos. One was the Matrix Unreal Engine 5 demo, which is good because that means Unreal Engine 5 runs on Switch 2.
And runs well enough.
Yeah. But also they showed Breath of the Wild, which heavily implies that we're getting backwards compatibility. In fact, I think it's pretty much a guarantee at this point.
Yeah. Well, and they also stated, like the report anyway, that the game was running at a higher resolution at 60 FPS.
Yeah.
Like, I think they I think one of the reports said 4K. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, sick.
It's probably ups like
DLSS.
They're going
upscaled
through NVIDIA, right? So it might just be like an AI upscale of the game to 4K, which I could see.
Yeah, I could definitely see that too. I know the Switch One has the capability, like the SDK exists for the chip, but I don't think the Switch is powerful enough to handle it. I think actually Splatoon might take advantage of it a little bit. I'd have to do some research on that. But anyway, we've been talking about Splatoon.
Really, all I'm getting around to is that I think the Splatoon DLC, it's going to be a Switch thing. But since all things Switch can be run on the Switch 2, well, potentially all things Switch. There's one game on this list that might not be. It might be a Switch One exclusive, but I don't think there's any concern that this is like a dual release or anything. It's a Switch One project.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of going into some of the details there, I think it looks beautiful. I really like how muted the colors are, because it seems like the entire focus of the DLC story is working with what was their name? I think it's Deadfish or something like that. But the Octoling that is kind of those neon colors, that Octoling wrote in universe all of the music for Octo Expansion, and specifically states that they have a history with Marina, and they seem to be guiding you through this gigantic tower where you're gathering all of these color swatches to make up palettes, and those color swatches help you in various levels with different modifiers like speed up or fire rate up or fire attack up or a bunch of other things, which just makes this DLC feel so replayable, like challenging yourself with different ways of beating levels. And I don't know. It looks so pretty. It looks super fun. It looks much more Splatoon than the Splatoon 3 campaign did, which I enjoyed a lot of it, but it just wasn't quite there. But this really feels like they're taking all of the lessons they've learned from Octopath and even the Splatoon 3 engine and just making something even more amazing. And I'm really excited to play it.
Yeah, I think my big thing is it didn't look like the missions were kind of like those like floating game piece missions that we talked about before, where it's just like a room, an empty room with like floating blocks that you just jump from between just to serve like some core gameplay purpose, and there's like no aesthetic anything.
yeah like these actually look like they'll have all sorts of shooting challenges and puzzle challenges, as well as then not just like get from point A to point B. Plus like the aesthetic looks so cool when you're shooting enemies. At one point you can see like the damage amounts hitting them, and I'm like, that's a cool touch. I like that. But it makes sense why this has been delayed. I think they said that they were hoping to get this DLC out this year when they announced it. But it's coming out next year. They probably ran into a couple of hiccups, or maybe expanded the scope of it, is my guess. So
yeah, this is also the Animal Crossing team that delayed Animal Crossing to make sure that they didn't overwork their developers. So
yeah, that's very true, too. So
it could be something along those lines.
But yeah, I'm so excited for it. It looks so good. I'm glad we finally got a trailer for it. It took them a while to give us more updates on that. And at least we didn't get a little clip announcing another Splatfest, right, Jordan?
Yeah, I don't think Splatfests are Nintendo Direct worthy news.
Maybe after they show this trailer, they could be like, and don't forget, Splatfest is coming up, and then just spend like 30 seconds on it and not the whole thing. But anyway. Yeah.
Splatoon 2 was free DLC for Switch Online, right?
I think it is now, yes. It wasn't at first, not until they added the expansion pass.
So I'm excited for when this becomes free on Switch Online.
I hope it does.
It'll probably be when Splatoon 4 comes out.
Probably. Whatever. I already bought the DLC because I knew it was going to be awesome. And I like Splatoon a lot, so.
Yeah.
I haven't touched the game in like 6 months, though. I was really into it, and it's been a while. Moving along to our next topic here, the next big thing that we wanted to talk about was Mario versus Donkey Kong is back, Jordan. What?
So they're remaking the Game Boy game, which I'm kind of disappointed about. Like, if you're going to make a Mario vs. Donkey Kong game, I feel like there's not really any need to revisit the old games. Just make something new.
Yeah, like, you can make similar puzzles or even reuse some of the levels. You know, that's fine, but whatever. I mean,
yeah. It's not like I have nostalgia to go back to a very specific Mario vs. Donkey Kong game.
I never played the Game Boy one. I only played the DS one. So this will be a new experience for me.
Didn't they make the Game Boy one free for something in the past? I don't remember.
I don't know. Like,
maybe
did
like
it come as part of the... Yeah, which I didn't qualify for because I was too slow for that.
Because you didn't spend $100 more than you needed to for your 3DS?
I mean, I literally... finally worked myself up to buying one, and the next day they announced the red one that was much cheaper, so I went and got that one instead of doing the ambassador program like literally right when that window would have shut. But yeah.
Of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong games, this is also like my least favorite one. So I like the minis. I like micromanaging a bunch of minis, but I guess without the touch screen and being like you need two screens to remake the old games. That's why I kind of wish that they just make a new March of the Minis game that not so focused on dual screen.
I think that'd be really cool. And I think they could pull it off. It's Mario versus Donkey Kong is very fun. For the people that have never played it, this is kind of the natural evolution of the arcade Donkey Kong games. And by natural evolution, I mean kind of forced evolution. It's the only way you can get some of that original gameplay style stuff. Well, but
it was kind of intended to be a sequel to the Game Boy Mario vs. It wasn't Mario vs. Donkey Kong, right? It was Donkey Kong 94.
I think so, yeah.
Which was a sequel to like the arcade Donkey Kong games.
Right.
And Donkey Kong 94, I think it's on Switch Online. I can't double check right now, but it's very good. Like, that is the game definitely to go play if it is on Switch Online. It is surprising how good Donkey Kong 94 is. And I would say Donkey Kong 94 is better than this game, but that's just me.
I'm just double checking the list of Game Boy games.
It would just be called Donkey Kong.
I don't think they have it.
Oh, wow. I know that was part of the...
Or at least it's not on the Nintendo's official list.
They don't have it. Wow. Honestly, I would have rather had a Donkey Kong 94 remake than Mario vs. Donkey Kong. And I think in looking online, that seems to be like the average take.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I can't believe it's not out. Whatever. Maybe it'll come after to be like, oh, yeah, this is the game that kind of inspired Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
But I think ideally, because GBA is on NSO and so is Game Boy, my preferred direction they should have gone was just put Donkey Kong 94 and Mario vs. Donkey Kong on the NSO and then just make a new Mario vs. Donkey Kong game.
I think that would have been better, but...
And it would have required the same amount of work.
True. Though they would have had to design new levels, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it's that hard to make levels for Donkey... Like, Mario vs. Donkey Kong games are very, very simple games. I don't...
Yeah, true.
If there was any game that series that Nintendo has that would work really well as a, like, a free-to-play mobile app, it's Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
Not Mario Run or whatever.
Yeah, I think this would work better than Mario Run.
That's funny. So I guess it's cool to see the series return. Maybe they're going to use it to gauge sales numbers for if they're going to make a new game or not. I don't know. But I don't, whatever.
It's $50.
Yeah. For Game Boy Advance
remake. A dinky Game Boy Advance remake, yeah. I hate that I'm like poo-pooing all over it, but because like there have been other remakes in the past that I'm perfectly fine with them doing and charging $50 for. But it's just that even like Game Boy Advance standards, Mario vs. Donkey Kong is such a simple game.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I'm sure a bunch of people will really enjoy it. It's a fun game to grab to play, especially with kids, I would say. So I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. And now that they have the assets made, maybe they'll make a new Mario vs. Donkey Kong game.
I hope so, because it's a fun little series.
Just doing
an
asset swap.
I think it fits really well on Switch because of the handheld nature. It's always been like one of those smaller arcadey games anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just make a new Mario vs. Donkey Kong game and make it $20.
Yeah. Make it really cheap, please. Just a hand. We don't even need that many levels, you know, just
yeah.
Something that comes out every couple of years. It's like, hey, here's a new level pack or something. Moving along, I guess, since we've exhausted the Mario versus Donkey Kong topic. They showed another trailer for Mario RPG, Super Mario RPG, the remake that's coming to Switch. I still think the game looks really quite good. I don't think the art style is perfect for the game. I would have really appreciated if, like, Square had just used their Octopath Traveler engine or something to make the game, like, still sprightly and beautiful. But I imagine Nintendo kind of wanted to bring the Mario image more in line with Mario's 3D models now, right? Like, even if he is still short and squatty. But,
Yeah. I mean, it's still just like it's kind of a miracle that we're even getting Mario RPG.
Oh, no, I'm very grateful for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to buy it and play it a lot.
Like, the only issue I have with it is the art style. I am happy that they like aren't just doing the standard polished Nintendo or Mario look that we've seen for the betterment of a decade.
Yeah. But, could you imagine if it just looked like Mario versus Rabbids?
Oh, man. No, don't. But that's what I would have expected, right? From a third-party Mario game. It's surprised that Nintendo allowed them to do anything.
Yeah, very true.
Even though it wasn't a lot.
Yeah. But again, so, like, the core gameplay still feels the same, right? Like, it's still Mario RPG, still very turn-based. They've added a lot of new effects and stuff. It looks great in that regard. And they finally played the forest theme in the trailer, Jordan. Did that make you happy?
Yes. Yeah.
You brought that up last time we talked about its first announcement. So
it is definitely the most iconic song in the game.
Oh, absolutely. The other good news, especially for you and for me, is there was a Japanese clip shared shortly after the direct. I don't know where, I just saw it online. There's an option in the menus to enable the original sound effects and music from the SNES. So you can get the full nostalgia with the upgraded art style. By upgraded, I mean like more modern, I guess. Not necessarily better.
That's definitely the kind of move you'd expect from a third-party studio, not Nintendo.
Exactly.
Nintendo wants you to forget that there's an old version that exists.
But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for a whole new generation to realize why the Mario RPG series from the old times, you know, before the Empire, were really good. You know, Mario RPG, Paper Mario, Mario and Luigi, those games are just super good, great storytelling. And it's exciting to see Super Mario RPG come out on Switch in a more modern fashion that's more appealing to newer audiences, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people now who have never played Mario RPG because it's kind of niche at the time.
Yeah.
And with all the Geno hype for Smash Bros. Over the last couple decades, there's definitely a lot of people who are interested in seeing what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, interested and curious for sure. So yeah, excited for that game. I know I'll definitely play it. Now, the next thing that we have on our list that we wanted to talk about is Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, which has apparently dropped entirely the subtitle of Dark Moon, which I thought was so fascinating because the original title of this game was just Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon back on the 3DS. And now when they showed the logo and they talk about the game, they're like, this is Luigi's Mansion 2. That's it. No other title.
Yeah, I think so. If you think about it as a marketer, when Luigi's Mansion 2 originally came out, they probably didn't want people to feel like they were required to go back and play the first one, especially when that game was like 11 years old at that point. Whereas now they don't want people to view this as a sequel to the very successful Luigi's Mansion 3. So they want a clear indicator that, hey, this is a remake.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's all that's really going on. It just conveys what it is easier than the Dark Moon title.
Yeah. And I think it looks quite good. They've definitely added more to the environments from what I can tell. It looks a lot more in line with Luigi's Mansion 3. I mean, Dark Moon was a 3DS game, so it's not like they could get away with a ton of stuff, adding a lot of detail and whatnot, but it looks quite good. I mean, I don't know if I want to pick it up because I still have the 3DS version and it doesn't look like there's anything new other than HD graphics and, I don't know, potentially more streamlined controls that don't use the touchscreen at all, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up. Are you going to get it?
No, I didn't really like Luigi's Mansion 2, I'll be honest.
I mean, I never finished it. I got to like the second to last mansion and was like, yeah, I'm done.
It just stripped out all the stuff that I really love about the original Luigi's Mansion.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem that I have with it is it's constantly pulling you out of the environment for just a check-in with EGAD, and then you have to select on the menus to go back in to an upgraded version. It's not like the mansions actually progress as you go. It's like they have to pull you out so that they can load you into a new version of the map where something big has changed, right? It's like, okay. I mean, I guess it makes it a little bit more replayable that you can reset the mansions to their more initial states, but I don't know. That's not Luigi's Mansion-y to me. That's more like level-based exploration.
Yeah. It's passed for me. I'm kind of surprised Nintendo's going with this one, because I just don't feel like there's a lot of excitement in the Nintendo community for Luigi's Mansion 2. Like, that one was always viewed as kind of like the game that kind of stepped away from what Luigi's Mansion is. And Luigi's Mansion 3 is the game that's like moving back towards what Luigi's Mansion is, right?
Right. I definitely would have preferred a Luigi's Mansion 4 announcement, but that's next console at this point.
Yeah, definitely next console. It's coming. It's coming. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Luigi's Mansion 3 sold what, like 10 million units? It's,
yeah, something ridiculous. It really solidified next level games as a first party Nintendo studio.
I'm pretty sure the whole reason for Luigi's Mansion 2 is just because they want to like make sure that the awareness of the Luigi's Mansion brand doesn't die down.
Yeah. So people at least see it in the shop or on store shelves or something.
Yeah. So that when Luigi's Mansion 4 comes out, then, and like when we're talking about Luigi's Mansion 4, it's like 2 or 3 years after this remake. So
yeah, for sure. I hope people enjoy it that want to enjoy it. That's all I'll say. Yeah. We also got a bunch of amiibo announcements. We don't need to spend a ton of time on this necessarily. The Zelda and Ganondorf amiibo that we knew were in the Tears of the Kingdom game code were officially shown off and given a release window. I've got mine pre-ordered already through, I believe I did Best Buy. I'm really excited. The Zelda one is so pretty and the Ganondorf one is awesome. So just excited to add those to my collection, I guess. I'm not a perfect amiibo collector. I like to get the ones that I think look cool. And these ones definitely fit the bill. Are you going to get them?
Yeah. No. There have been. So originally, I wanted to be a perfect amiibo collector, and then they just released way too many amiibo for me to keep up with. So then I changed it to, I'll just get all the Zelda and Metroid amiibos. And then they made a billion Zelda amiibos to the point where I wasn't able to keep up with that. So I gave up on that collection. So now I'm just exclusively a Metroid amiibo collector.
Yep, that's pretty good. I don't have an exclusive series that I just collect for. I just have a nice collection of all sorts, and it's just fun. On top of the Zelda and Ganondorf ones, they also showed off Noah and Mio from Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and those looked really good. And I was very surprised that they got amiibo. I'm like, okay. I don't think Rex ever got an amiibo, just Pyra and Mithra for the Smash Bros. amiibo. So it's interesting that both Noah and Mio, which are not in Smash, got their own amiibo.
Yeah, it's weird that they came out a year after the game.
Yeah, that too.
Was Nintendo just surprised by how well Xenoblade 3 was, or was it that these were planned for release, but because of manufacturing delays, they ended up coming out a year later?
Those are good questions. I don't have an answer. I would imagine it's the former. So like they were like, oh, Xenoblade 3 did really well again. I don't know. It's just weird. All the other Xenoblade amiibo are Smash amiibo. Anyway, excited to have those. I'll probably pre-order them. I love Noah and Mio. I like Mio better, but... And then the big one, Jordan. What was the big amiibo?
There was Sora.
Yay!
The final Smash Bros. Amiibo.
Everyone is here.
Everyone
on
is here.
Your shelf. It looks good.
Yeah.
They had to complete the set.
This one's going to be very popular.
Definitely. Like... Even non-Nintendo fans might get it because it's like an official little pretty cheap figurine to get.
Yeah, of Sora.
So,
Kingdom Hearts fans, be crazy.
Definitely. Definitely. It looks good. I hope I can snag a copy of it because I really like
sell these amiibos in Disneyland?
Oh, that's a good question.
Get more exposure to it. Like Nintendo could rake in so much money with this amiibo.
They could. They definitely could. Maybe they should. Lots of amiibo. There are too many amiibo. It's nice for the collectors, but it's also bad for the collectors because they spend so much money on amiibo. But that's what Nintendo wants, right? Because didn't they say like this week, Doug Bowser, I think, released a quote or in an interview or something said that Nintendo's pivoting to be more of a multimedia company now instead of just a video game company. And it's like, yeah, good. You have good IPs that should do this. So please keep that up.
That kind of quote kind of concerns me.
in a lot of ways, it concerns me too.
But I enjoy Nintendo catering specifically to my needs or wants. I am much more of a gaming fan than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't really need that many like Nintendo movies to be made. I guess TV shows. I'm more interested in TV shows than movies. But
yeah, give us a live action Metroid on Netflix or something. That I would love, man.
After if the One Piece, anything is possible.
The One Piece live action was actually really good. It wasn't perfect, of course, but it was so fun. And it was clear that the people that made it really knew the series and enjoyed it. So, you know, I'm hopeful that Nintendo could get in on that scene with like Metroid or Zelda. I think Zelda would work really well as a TV show, too.
Well, if Netflix is going to do anything Nintendo, I'm really hoping that they bring back the Star Fox puppet show.
Oh, that'd be awesome. But we talked about this on a whole episode, right? Where we talked about potential media ventures. So if you're interested in our thoughts on that, you should go take a listen to that episode.
But like it makes sense because like Nintendo, they're into theme parks now. Their first like mega hit movie was this year. Maybe we'll get more anime and TV shows in the future. Live action is kind of like the next like big jump for Nintendo to go for.
Very true. But I think they could pull it off. With the right team.
Yeah, with the right projects, Metroid and Zelda being like the two big ones. Fire Emblem could probably do it.
Yeah, Fire Emblem would work. Fire Emblem in the style of like Game of Thrones. That'd be insane.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway, we could talk more about this as new things come about. You know, we have the current writers and actors strike going on right now. So if anything, we might not see some new Nintendo movies and stuff for at least a little while.
Don't expect any movies or shows next year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, man. Like, studios are already delaying projects that were supposed to come out this year just to pad out stuff that they can release next year. Like, it's...
Yeah, for sure.
It's not going to be a good year for being in the movie industry.
Or the TV industry. So,
yeah, maybe they should just meet the demands of the strike and move on.
Which the demands of the strike are not that they're, crazy. Yeah,
They're not crazy. It's like we want to own our own image.
we don't want AI to replace us. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, I hope that gets resolved soon.
Yeah.
But we stand in solidarity with the picketers, right?
Yep.
Anyway, moving on to another topic here. They also showed off another trailer for WarioWare Move It. And everything I see about this game, I'm like, this is what I want from WarioWare. This is WarioWare Shake It 2.
It is. It's Shake It 2. Oh, man. It looks so good. So I was saying, like, there's a game that might be Switch 1 exclusive. This is it.
Yeah.
Because there's a mini game that actually uses the IR camera. There's, like, two games on the Switch library that uses it. Three? There's three?
Yeah. Because they also announced Trombone Champ, and Trombone Champ can use it.
So games are finally using this feature that they, like... tried to push back at launch.
And it's end of life.
I would not be surprised if the Switch 2 cuts IR. So this might be a Switch 1 exclusive game, which would be kind of funny. But
maybe the Switch 2 can use old Joy-Cons, so it can at least run.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Because, you know, the Wii U was able to use Wii remotes. So, I don't know.
So, then this will be not exclusive to just Switch 1. It'll be exclusive to Switch 1 post every Switch Joy-Con breaking a year after release of Switch 2.
Exactly. I will say, though, it's really easy to repair your own joysticks. Well, it's easy for me.
Yeah. Like, you and I can do it.
But yeah, not everyone.
If I were to tell my, like, sister to help her son, like, I don't.
Well, at that point, you just say, here, give me the Joy-Cons. Right, I'll take them for an afternoon.
What I'm getting at is, like, the average person's not going to be.
Yeah, very true.
Have the resources to do it.
I actually replaced the sticks on my girlfriend's Joy-Cons the other week, and she's like, it's so much better. I'm like, yeah, I know. People making these third-party joysticks are doing a better job than Nintendo's. Like, they feel a little stiffer, but still accurate. It's good stuff. But anyway, WarioWare, move it. Just looks so good. It has all of the personality of WarioWare Shake It, which was one of my most favorite Wii games, especially to play with friends. So I'm so excited to play this game.
Yeah, WarioWare Shake It is still, like, the Wii game I return to the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's by far my favorite WarioWare game. So just getting a new updated one with all the crazy micro games. like, I like laughed out loud at the egg laying, or the chicken laying the egg micro game show. So, like, they're not toning it down at all. They're going full WarioWare. So
It's so exciting, which makes me so hopeful that the next game this team works on is a new Rhythm Heaven where they just go all out. So,
yeah, it's definitely time for Rhythm Heaven to return.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, this is the game I am most excited for the remainder of the year.
Yep.
Mario Wonder is number two.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Mario Wonder. It's just
WarioWare is just higher up there, man.
Yeah. WarioWare is just crazy. I love it. It's so zany. This was the game that was, like, most exciting for me in the direct. Although we already got, like, a lot of news of it back in E3 time,
but it looks even more exciting than that first trailer we got. So I'm so thrilled.
Yeah. We have, like, a new map and everything, and all the characters are returning. They showed off, Nintendo, like, focused games where they had Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah. Lots of really cool mini games. I mean, it's going to be exciting.
And the poses have returned. Like,
yes.
I'm really hoping they have the horrible haikus to explain the poses again. That was such a good moment with smooth moves.
Oh, for real. Like, when you make the mortar and pestle on the Weibo, that one was funny. When you do, like, the elephant nose, like, oh, man. Oh, I had forgotten about those. Oh, WarioWare can't come soon enough, man. I'm so excited to play that with.
Yeah,
you know,
I think they said there was 200 micro games in this one. So
yeah, which is great.
They showed some alternate multiplayer modes. Yeah, this is going to be the party game for the Switch.
For sure. For sure. Ah, so excited. And we will definitely talk about it once it launches. So keep an eye out for that episode. Now, Jordan, our next topic is the Eastward DLC. Would you like to explain that? Because I don't think I really care about Eastward.
Eastward's good. I think you would really enjoy Eastward. You specifically, David, I think you should try Eastward and play through it.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's like, it's kind of like a more story focused OG Zelda kind of game. I really enjoyed, Eastward. Now we have some DLC, which is basically Stardew Valley, which I'll pick up and play. It'll be fun. I am very surprised though. It doesn't like. It's like a game within a game. Why is this DLC and not just like some spin-off game on its own?
Is the DLC coming to Steam eventually? Because they just announced it in this direct, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's coming to Steam.
I'll probably buy it on Steam then, so I can, like, play it on my laptop or on my tower. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, Eastward, really good. Very surprised the DLC is basically a spin-off game where you have to have the base game and has, like, nothing to do with the base game.
Well, I started watching the clip. I was like, are they showing us news for, like, Haunted Chocolatier? Because I was watching it, like, on my phone and it was, like, low res. And I was like, no, this is something else.
Yeah, it's basically just Stardew Valley, but with Eastward characters.
That'll be exciting.
Which is not what Eastward is.
Yeah. But speaking of Haunted Chocolatier, I'm really looking forward to that game. I want to give that a shot.
It's not in Unity, is it?
Oh, no.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Unity changed their price structure. It is very predatory. And so we're probably going to see a lot of games that are currently in development get delayed 3 or 4 years to like move engines. Yeah. I'm really worried for Silksong.
yeah. Well, and somebody jokingly put on Twitter, like, I can't wait for the announcement that Silksong will be delayed by another 5 years because it's being moved off of Unity. And one of the developers at Team Cherry liked that tweet.
Yeah.
So scary. Ugh. I don't know if Haunted Chocolatier is Unity or not. I can't find any like definitive.
Well, was Stardew Valley Unity?
I don't see any definitive answers. Everything's like, how can I make a game like Stardew Valley in Unity and not? Yeah. How was it made?
Basically, I've come to terms with the fact that a lot of indie games are going to take an extra 2 or 3 years to come out now.
Yeah, unless Unity walks everything back, which I don't think that CEO is going to do until he realizes how much money they're losing off of this.
Oh, but he did insider trading and sold all of his stocks right before the announcement. True. He knew that they were going to lose money on this.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're thinking. Like,
well, he's the guy that introduced all of the billions of loot boxes and stuff with EA. He was the CEO of EA right as that point in EA's history changed. So, ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, and EA is still recovering from the damage he's done to that company.
Yep.
Like, companies, stop hiring this guy as a CEO. He's not good.
He's not good. He destroys whatever he touches. So, it's such a bummer, though, because Unity is so useful for these developers. It's such a nice framework. It doesn't have a heavy overhead. It works for console and PC really easily. And so many people know it and use it. You know, like, as far as I understand it, Nintendo was basically begging people to use Unity for the Wii U, like back when the Wii U first launched. Like, Unity definitely works here. You could just go ahead and if you have Unity, just put it on the Wii U. It'll be fine. But yeah, like the pricing structure is just so bad. Like, these free to play indie games are the ones that are going to be hit the worst because it counts for every download, right? So imagine you have like 2 million downloads and after that point, you finally hit their $200,000 threshold. If they count the 2 million downloads, you're like $500,000 that you have to give Unity or whatever, which is more money than you made. Anyway, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Someone's done like all the math on it.
Yeah. Unity is going to get sued to oblivion.
Well, and like, they're also like, and Microsoft will pay the bill for all of the downloads on Games Pass. It's like, okay.
No, Microsoft's just going to remove every Unity game from Game Pass.
Right, and they're not going to take any chances on Unity indie devs anymore to put on Games Pass. It's going to be awful.
Yeah, the pricing structure just doesn't make any like fiscal sense. There's just... It uproots the business model of so many companies. It's going to be an absolute legal war.
Oh, definitely. You're going to have lawyers from all sorts of companies just going after them. Sony's going to go after them. Microsoft's going to do something. Nintendo's going to do something. Like, they're going to get all of the big guys on them.
Back in the day, back in like the 90s or whatever, game studios typically had their own engines, right?
And
game studios have slowly... move to the point where we are now, where it's mostly Unreal and Unity, not just because like it's cheaper and all that, but also because it's easier to hire developers when they already have
exactly
kind of like a baseline of like a standardized engine to work on. We might after this start seeing the industry move back towards proprietary engines.
Yeah, we might. Or we might see some new group on the scene gain a lot of traction. I don't know.
Because, like, if you could just retroactively change the entire pricing structure, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, if a game already exists, like, it should just be on the old license. If you update your license, it shouldn't be legal to just, like, change your license post the game's launch, right?
Right. Yeah, it's super stupid.
So some legal stuff needs to be resolved where, at the very least... it can't be applied retroactively.
Ugh. I'm so sorry, indie devs. I think that people should go read all of the different statements that a lot of the indie developers have made. Some of them are like, we have never made a public statement before. This is the first time we've ever done so. This is how badly you've effed up. Like that we've had to say something publicly.
Yeah, that was from the Slay the Spire developers.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Ugh, anyway, such a mess. And I feel for the indie devs. It's crazy. You've got, we were just talking about the SAG-AFTRA strike, you know, with the the movie and TV industry. And now we've got all of these indie devs that are panicking and worried about their future because Unity is going to suck. So such a weird year that we're in.
Corporate greed.
Yep. Corporate greed. Anyway, let's kind of lighten up the topic a little bit and move on here. They also showed off the final wave of the Mario Kart 8 DLC, which, huzzah, we are free. Right?
I'm surprised. So Funky and Diddy Kong are in this. I thought they were already in the game. I don't own Mario Kart Deluxe.
How did we not have Funky and Diddy?
I can understand Funky. He's kind of DLC-y in a way. Diddy Kong feels like a core Mario Kart character. Why was he not here?
I know, like we had Diddy on the Wii game. We had him on the 3DS game. I guess he wasn't in N64. He was in GameCube for sure. Yeah, no, he's been a staple, but I guess they just never put him in 8. And now he's finally back to kick some tail. And I'm sorry, that's Donkey Kong. But what's also weird to me is it's like Funky Kong's back. It's like, but Funky was introduced on the Wii. Like, why are some of these characters that have been around in the series finally coming back? Like,
people are just traumatized of Funky Kong being the best character on the Wii.
Didn't we get Petey Piranha in one of the DLCs recently, too?
I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask about Mario Kart.
True. I haven't paid attention either, but anyway.
I haven't. I skipped this Mario Kart because I already had it on the Wii U. And I figured that Mario Kart 9 would eventually come out.
And it didn't.
Yeah, I lost that bet.
You were in the wrong bet for 6 whole years.
Yep. And I'm still standing by. I'm not buying Mario Kart to Mario Kart 9.
Yeah, but they also announced Pauline, which is great. I mentioned last week, I think, that Pauline deserves to be in more Mario stuff.
Yeah, I think Pauline should be considered a core Mario character going forward.
Yeah, I don't think she's like on the level of Princess Peach, but at this point, she's kind of on the level of Daisy, or at least what her Daisy was for like the last 20 years.
I would say Daisy, Rosalina, and Pauline. At the like same level where anytime the Mario cast expands out of like the main core, like the secondary characters.
Yeah. So they should belong in all of the Mario sports games, the kart games, the party games, etc. Yeah. So that's cool. And then also Peachette, which is literally just Princess Peach, but with her super crown because it's Toadette wearing the super crown.
Just getting clone characters. So when's Bowsette coming out?
Hey, Bowsette's not an official Mario character. I mean, probably shouldn't talk about her.
I'm surprised Nintendo's even making any reference to Peachette.
I know.
The internet response to her.
Well, whatever. But anyway, you know, alluded to this before, but we're free. Mario Kart 8 is finally done. Well, at least once this comes out. And I really hope that the Mario Kart producer has been working on Mario Kart 9 for the Switch 2 launch, or at least the launch year. He's been trapped this entire generation on the mobile Mario Kart Tour game, which did not do very well. So hopefully he can get back to his roots and make a good console game with the Mario Kart team. Really hopeful for that. Mario Kart 8 has a ton of content. So 9 is either going to have some crazy new mechanic, or just like take all of the stuff 9 or 8 introduced and bake it in, right?
It'll be a Smash Bros. Kart. That's all you have to do. Launch a Mario Kart game, but it's like 30 characters. How many characters are in Mario Kart 8 in the base game?
In the base game?
Anyway, I'm just expecting like the same amount of characters as base game Mario Kart 8. Not Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but and then it'll just have more emphasis on Nintendo as a whole.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, so that's Mario Kart 8. They also showed us actual gameplay footage of Princess Peach Showtime, which is the official name of the Princess Peach game that they teased in June. It looks cute, but I'm not interested.
Why did they tease us in June? I don't understand.
I don't know.
It would have had more impact if it was just a completely new release or reveal here.
Yeah, I agree.
People are going to hate me for saying this. This game looks like Balan Wonderland.
Oof. Well, as I was watching this with my little brother, he was like, isn't this just like a Kirby game, but with Princess Peach?
Yeah. A Kirby game where you can't steal your abilities on the fly and keep them to the next level. All the levels are designed specifically around.
Yeah. And it also looks like these levels are full of like mini games, like the one where Peach turns into like the pastry chef or whatever, and she's decorating the cake. And it's like, that is not a level. That's a mini game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have too much to say about it other than I don't think I'm going to get it. I think this is probably aimed at the younger kids that love Princess Peach. And that's all I really kind of have to say about it.
I don't know. It feels like Nintendo's like, we just need a game. a Princess Peach game. Like, what can we do? And I don't know. It's not for me.
Yeah, not for me either.
Like I said, it looks like a more polished Balan Wonderland. Wonderworld. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was Wonderland. Excited for the people that are excited for it, but not me. moving on. They gave us the craziest tease for a franchise that you and I have actually talked about in passing every time we talk about the Nintendo Switch 2, which is interesting because the series has been missing for so long. And it's the F-Zero series. And the trailer that they showed off started off with the SNES footage of F-Zero. And then it just transitioned into an HD version of the same graphics with 99 different carts. And they announced F-Zero 99. And the great return of the F-Zero franchise is through a free-to-play online-based game that only Nintendo Switch Online holders have access to.
Yeah, there's some people who are not happy about this.
I'm not happy about it. I mean, it looks fun, I guess. But like, this is how they bring back F-Zero?
Whatever. So we've had this like quote from Miyamoto for like decades now that the reason why F-Zero hasn't returned is because they haven't had like an idea for it that like pushes the franchise in any way. Which is ridiculous because like F-Zero could do just fine just being another F-Zero game, right? Yeah. Like it's been so long that just existing is new.
Yeah, exactly. High speed racing. Yeah, people want that.
Yeah, people want that. So I guess this checks that checkbox, being a battle royale, death race, which honestly is a really good idea. I think
it is a good idea. Don't get me wrong.
Like if you're going to do a death race style game, just having it so that you race until you die and then you just jump out and jump into another like queue is definitely the way to go about it. And just like, so you can lean more into the death race. Or the death side of the race that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it would have been better if they went with like at least the Super Nintendo version or the N64. But that would definitely be a lot more work. I like the idea. I like the concept. I think the execution is fine. F-Zero fans are also going to hate this. This is going to be the most played F-Zero game.
Well, by default, yeah. And look, I think it's a really good... Oh, go ahead.
Well, it might be what the F-Zero franchise needs, though. It gets more people familiar with the franchise. And maybe in the future, we'll get a 3D polished F-Zero game that is more focused also on this Battle Royale-esque thing. Like, this game's only going to exist for a year, and then they're going to remove it from the store.
That's the exact thing I was about to say. I'm like, is this going to go the way of Mario 50?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Nintendo very clearly has a theme here where they're taking like classic retro games for the NES era, making it into a battle royale, having it be free to try and push value for their paid online subscription, and then taking away and just releasing another one because they just don't require a lot of work.
Yeah,
I am kind of surprised that F-Zero was chosen as the next one, because like the ones that they've chosen so far were Mario, Tetris, Pac-Man.
Yeah, though the Tetris one is still up and running. They haven't gotten rid of that one. You can still play Tetris 99, but I have no idea what the queues are like.
I guess that one was just so popular that they had to keep it going.
Anyway, that's the one thing I'm worried about is like they release this cool thing and people like playing it and then boom, it's gone forever. Well, I don't know.
With these kind of games, though, you kind of need cues to fire, right? And eventually,
yeah, that's very true.
Interest is going to die. Like, how are you going to guarantee 100 people are there? Well, it has to be a fresh thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not Fortnite.
True.
I don't know. I like this. I think it's good execution. It'll bring more interest to the F-Zero franchise. And I think it's a good proof of concept for a future F-Zero game. So now Nintendo has no excuse. They have something new and interesting to do with the F-Zero brand. So give us a full AAA F-Zero game with this concept.
I think that would work really well. I do. And I agree with all of your points. My whole like conflicted nature regarding this release was that this is the return of F-Zero. You know, like we haven't gotten an F-Zero game in so long and they just give us this online only, NSO only battle royale version of the game instead of something new.
Kind of the Federation Force equivalent for the F-Zero franchise, isn't it?
Yes. But hey, if it leads to a revolution in the F-Zero franchise, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, so maybe 5 years from now, F-Zero will get its dread.
Yeah.
Because of it.
That'd be cool.
On our Discord, the user Nico mocked that, like, what's next? Is Star Fox going to get this? And I know they were joking and they were trying to make a dig or a jab at F-Zero or at Star Fox, but I unironically would think that'd be pretty cool.
I think
Star
Fox,
SNES Star Fox 100 100 planes dogfighting. I think that'd be pretty sweet. That'd be a lot more work than these other 99 projects, though.
Oh, for sure. It'd be really cool. I think that would work. But so one of the other interesting things that they showed off in the Direct was the Nintendo Museum, which has been under construction in, what was it, one of the districts in Kyoto, I think. I don't know for sure. Which
makes sense because that's where Nintendo is.
Right, right. I think that's a very exciting thing. I know that they announced that they were working on something before, but now they've given us the official title of Nintendo Museum. I think it'll be something really cool to visit. And I hope one day if I end up going to Japan on like vacation, I can stop by when it's open. I think that'd be a really cool attraction to visit.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see. There's been a lot of speculation because the Gulf War Game Boy has been removed from the Nintendo store in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And so people are speculating that maybe they removed it because they're moving it to a museum where it makes more sense to be in than a retail store.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's inside the museum. I'm sure they'll release more pictures and promotional materials as it gets closer to completion, which I believe they said it was going to be ready next year.
Yeah, so just more reason to go to Japan along with the original Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
You're going to have a very Nintendo-themed Japanese experience.
You really could, especially if you like play Pokemon Go the whole time, right?
Go to all the spots that were in the original Pokemon games, the first four generations.
Yeah.
go to Japan for a Pokemon tour.
I'm sure somebody's done it.
Yeah.
So anyway, excited for the Nintendo Museum. I hope to go visit it one day. The final thing on our list and really the last big announcement was the thing that I was most excited for during the trailer. And I flipped out when I saw it. And I have rewatched the trailer and I have listened to it so many times, is Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door is getting a full remake. And I'm so excited because Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is possibly, well, I wouldn't say possibly, it is definitely in my top 10 video games of all time. And it is just so exciting to see a lot of love and care put into it. And I am so excited. And Jordan, you need to get it so that you can finally play it and beat it so you know how it's good.
You remembered.
Yeah, of course I did.
I have a mixed feeling with Paper Mario. I think like the game kind of peaks at Rock the Hawk and then I always get really bored after that.
Well, one of the next chapters is the Twilight Town arc, and that is the slowest part of the game. Yeah,
that arc has killed every run I've ever had of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
It's all about going back and forth from the town up to the steeple and back and back to the town and back to the steeple and back to the town. I think you go back and forth like four times.
Maybe I just need to like swallow my pride and just use a guide for that chapter.
Yeah.
Give up.
I mean, once you know what you're doing in that chapter, it's pretty fast, but yeah, it's a lot.
But I'm excited for Paper Mario Thousand Year Door fans though. This is definitely a thing that the fans have been clamoring for quite a while. I am in favor of Nintendo doing things for the fans. I am hopeful that projects for the fans do well, just so that Nintendo continues doing them for projects that I will care about in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this just takes me back to like after I think it was Origami King or Color Splash. It was one of the two more recent Paper Mario games where the director was asked, why are these games so different from like Thousand Year Door? And I believe they said something, and I'm not quoting directly, just trying to remember. They said something like, we didn't really realize how much the fans cared about those games. And so ever since that statement was given, I have been under the impression and opinion that Nintendo has needed to remake Thousand Year Door specifically so the team knows what made Paper Mario so interesting and beloved. And they're finally doing it. And I hope that this is a good sign for the future, because Origami King was a good step in the right direction, but it still just lacked so much of the personality and interesting characters and story that the original Paper Mario and Thousand Year Door had. Of course, I would include Super Paper Mario in this list, but the gameplay of Super Paper Mario is so different, even if the story is probably my favorite of the three by a little bit. But Thousand Year Door is just so incredible. It's such a good game. The story is so interesting. The humor is amazing, even from like today's standards. And I'm just so excited to see that it's been completely remade. The visuals look incredible from this trailer. And the music's been completely re-recorded. And I think it's with actual live instruments, which is really good for me because I love the soundtrack in that game. I am thrilled to pick up this game. I'm excited to share my love of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door with others, and it's going to be great because it's one of my top 10 games of all time, but it was also one of the first GameCube games I ever owned, and the GameCube was actually the first console that I actually owned that we had in our home, and so the game means a lot to me, both nostalgic from nostalgic standpoint and just from a gameplay standpoint and story and everything. I just absolutely love and cherish this game. And I'm so happy that Paper Mario is getting the love it deserves. And I hope that this is a good sign for the future.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too. I really like that. I like it when games are no longer locked to a specific console, especially a console that kind of failed. financially. GameCube is really difficult and expensive to go play. So just having it out there for fans to be able to experience again, or even for the first time, like there's going to be a lot of people who have never played Thousand Year Door that this is going to be their introduction to it.
And I will say you don't need to play the original Paper Mario to know Thousand Year Door. Like there are a couple of references to it, but they're pretty minor, and more just like Easter eggs for the fans that played the first game.
Yeah. If I remember right, there's not much story in the first Paper Mario game anyway.
Well, there actually is a pretty good amount of story, but it's not like it's an overarching story that connects together. It's more like every chapter has a good little story that you can kind of follow along from time to time. But Thousand Year Door was like their first foray into this is more like an overarching thing where you're solving these problems because of an overarching enemy. You're working together with the world, and it just all comes together really well. I did see some talk online that were like, oh, why aren't we getting the first game remade? And the reason for that, in my opinion, I don't know if this is Nintendo's, like, you know, what they're thinking internally, but it goes back to what you mentioned earlier, Jordan, where it's getting a game on the consoles, like more modern, away from its original source. The original Paper Mario was on the N64, and you could get the original Paper Mario on the Wii Virtual Console. You could get it on the Wii U Virtual Console, and it's even on Nintendo Switch Online right now. So, like, the original has been available for people to play. Thousand Year Door has not. It's a really expensive GameCube game to buy, even used right now. So they're remaking it. I'm sure one of the big reasons is because it has not been on a Nintendo console since the GameCube era. Plus, I think it has a better story and mechanics. Yes. Yeah, that too. Plus, it has like the better story, the better visuals, and I think it's a much more appealing and complete game to remake that will appeal to all sorts of audiences.
Well, it's the best demonstration of what like original Paper Mario fans want out of Paper Mario.
Yes, exactly.
Even though original characters. Super Paper Mario is my favorite of the Paper Marios, I recognize that this is what people want. People don't want another Super Paper Mario, which is fine. Like, just remake Super Paper Mario for me. That's all I really need. I don't need another Super Paper Mario.
Do that in like 5 years or something, or 3 years. I would love a remake of Super Paper Mario. I think it would be amazing. But anyway, I'm thrilled for Thousand Year Door. The title card was interesting. It didn't say remake or HD, so it just said Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, which was kind of cool to see. So I'm very excited. Excited for the new music. Excited for the additional sound effects. Like, they added better, almost like character dialogue. You know, kind of that jibber jabber from Animal Crossing in a sense, so that each character has its own like unique sound, which the original did not have. Some of the characters had slightly different pitches and voices, but now they sound much more unique. And I'm just so excited, Jordan. I love this game so much, and I'm so excited to play it again and have it all in HD and on a beautiful console. And hopefully it runs on Switch 2 so that I can play it in an AI upscaled version on my 4K TV. And I'm just so excited.
At 60 frames per second. Yeah. I'm just glad that they didn't redo the battle system.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine if they changed it? I'd be so mad.
Yeah, I could, knowing Nintendo, I could see an alternate world where that happens.
They put in like the Origami King battle system in Thousand Year Door. I would have been so mad. I wouldn't have bought the game.
I hope it's really successful. Because if it doesn't sell better than Origami King, you can expect the end of this style of Paper Mario games going forward.
So everybody, please buy Thousand Year Door. Please, 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 please. It's so much better than Origami King in like every conceivable way. Well, that kind of wraps up the individual pieces for this Direct. I think there was a lot of good stuff here. I think that overall, you know, if I calm down my excitement for Thousand Year Door, I don't think it was a super meaty Direct. It definitely feels like an end of year Direct. Or not end of year, end of life of Switch Directs. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's like the big thing here. So like Paper Mario is the big reveal, and it's a miracle that this exists. This is definitely a big fan pleasing announcement. I think it's perfectly valid to say this is like a very high Direct. We also got F-Zero, depending on whether you're that kind of F-Zero fan that's upset that this is what we return to, or the F-Zero fan that we're just happy that we got anything at all. Those are the two camps for the F-Zero thing. Which both are valid. I think those are both valid takes. For me personally, this was not the most exciting Direct, but there's definitely things here that, I don't know. This feels like a B. I would put this as a B tier Direct. There's a lot here. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I understand that. I think that for me, there were some good moments, a lot of ups and downs. The Splatoon DLC looks absolutely incredible, but I already knew it was going to be good because it was already announced. We just got more information about it. I'm excited to see the return of the Mario versus Donkey Kong series. I was never really big into it, but it's a fun little time waster, I guess.
Ouch.
Sorry. A fun little game to spend a decent amount of time on and not play again, I guess.
Shots fired.
I don't know. I never really played it that much. It didn't super interest me. I played through quite a bit of it, but it wasn't like, this is my most favorite series of all time and I'm going to replay it a billion times. But, you know, a lot of cool things. F-Zero 99 is exciting, even if it was a little bit of a disappointment for me because I wanted more from F-Zero. But like Paper Mario 1000 Year Door just like blew me out of the water. I was like, you know, it's kind of become a meme amongst the Paper Mario fans that it's like you put on your bingo card 1000 Year Door remake and Nintendo never does it. And they finally did it. And I'm just so excited. So I agree with you. I think it's kind of a B-tier direct, even if that one announcement like makes me feel so much happier than everything else. But, you know, this isn't like the reveal of Smash Bros. Ultimate or some of the early Nintendo Switch directs where we just got some huge announcements and whatnot. It feels like it's an end of life for the Switch Direct. We got lots of remakes, lots of kind of wrap up projects, and only like one really big announcement. And it just really does feel like Nintendo is wrapping things up. I know we've said that in the past, but given all of the news and reports and where we're sitting, it's definitely time.
With that said, compared to other Nintendo systems and their end of life directs, this is definitely the best one.
Oh, definitely.
This beats Wii U and 3DS any day.
Oh my gosh, the Wii U and 3DS end of life directs were so sad. I think like the only big good announcement was at that time was, oh yeah, here's a remake of Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga on the 3DS. And I'm like, that's cool. And I didn't even buy it.
Wii U's was, don't worry, guys, you'll still be able to play Zelda even though we're moving it to a different system.
True. The one that, you know, was supposed to be the big thing that you got on the Wii U and what you got the Wii U for.
Yeah.
So really, I'm quite happy with the Direct. I don't think it was incredible, but it makes me really hopeful for Nintendo's future. And I'm excited to see where things go, and I'm really excited to play Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, I imagine Thousand Year Door is probably going to be the first half of next year. So
yeah, seems like it. And I hope it's playable on Switch too, because that would just make it even better for me. Anyway, I don't know if there's much else to talk about, Jordan. You have anything else you want to say?
I think I'm good.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much to everybody listening for listening to our thoughts on the Nintendo Direct from September of 2023. This was episode 54 of the Nintendo Fusion podcast, and we're really grateful that you listened. Please be sure to check out our Discord by going to nintendofusion.com/discord, where you can talk with us about any Nintendo news. And as we're kind of in some of the off weeks, I think we'll start asking questions like, what do you guys want us to talk about, or some specific questions about topics we're going to be doing. That might be fun to, you know, get some of your feedback in that way. Please be sure to leave a like on the YouTube video or leave us a review on whatever podcasting app you're listening on. Doing so will certainly help the algorithm recommend the show to others. But with all that said, thanks again for listening to the Nintendo Fusion podcast. I guess we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.